This is Economy Watch, what you need to know about New Zealand's economic life today. Brought to you by interest.co.nz.
Kia ora and welcome to Monday's Economy Watch, where we follow the economic events and trends that affect Aotearoa. I'm David Chaston and this is the international edition from interest.co.nz. And today we lead with news there are meetings underway by two powerful economic groupings, the G7 and the BRICS countries. The G7 has about twice the economic activity as the BRICS countries, and the BRICS are in a bit of a rut at present, which is unusual for them. The BRICS are meeting virtually and India seems to be a weak link. Also meeting on the sidelines with the G7. And it is noticeable that the G7 is active while the BRICS are defensive. The G7 are about to roll out an extended set of sanctions on the invading Russians, including around gold transfers, insurance, and the oil price. A number of BRICS members, like China, could be boxed in by these moves. The G7 leaders morph into NATO leaders in a few days' time. The annual inflation rate in Japan was at 2.5% in May, unchanged from April's 7.5-year high, but in line with market expectations. This was also their ninth straight month of rising consumer prices, with food inflation hitting its highest in over 7 years, now topping 4%. The Bank of Japan has shown no signs of changing course from its ultra-easy money policies designed to raise inflation, but some sort of change must be getting closer. Meanwhile, very hot temperatures are causing concern over how to keep the electricity system from suffering blackouts, especially in the Tokyo area. In China, the sluggish economy is really putting the squeeze on job seekers. Their jobless rate for 16 to 24-year-olds is now more than 18%, far above the general jobless rate of almost 6%, which is also rising. The equivalent New Zealand levels are 10.2% and 3.2%. For the US, they're 10.4% and 3.6%. And keep an eye on flooding in the vast Southern Pearl River system. It has been worse than prior years and isn't over yet. Officials are calling the situation grim, but things do seem to have eased somewhat over the past day or so. But new flood warnings are now in place for the Northern Yellow River system, also likely to be serious. And in other parts of the country, including around Shanghai, excessive heat seems to be a big issue too. Singaporean industrial production took off in May, rising much faster than anyone expected, especially after the dour prospects were reported in April. The May recovery was broad-based. And separately, the early PMI readings for the United States are out, and they suggest that factory activity is slowing now, although still expanding modestly. The same is true for their services sector, although that expansion is a little stronger. But not so hot is that new order levels are now lower than previously, the first contraction in new orders since July 2020. In its latest updated review, the US Fed released the results of its annual bank stress tests, which showed that banks continue to have strong capital levels, enough in the regulator's judgment, to allow them to continue lending to households and businesses even in a severe recession. Sales of new American single-family houses in May were at an annual rate of 696,000. This is almost 11% above the revised April level and comes after a string of slowing months. Still, this latest level is almost 6% lower than for May 2021. Meanwhile, American petrol prices seem to have topped out and are now off their peak. They are currently at $3.80 a gallon in their futures market, a far cry from the $5 a gallon that the AAA reported recently. Even the AAA price is lower, although not by a lot. But the November 2022 futures pricing is now just above $3 a gallon, and the December futures pricing is now below $3 a gallon. If those signals play out as the in-money market trader suggests, American CPI inflation could retrace, and quite quickly. The widely watched Economist Livability Index has dumped Auckland and Wellington from near the top of their rankings. Cities in New Zealand and Australia are listed among the biggest fallers in these rankings, including Wellington and Auckland, which tumbled by 46 and 33 bases, respectively. Container shipping rates fell 3% last week alone for trans-Pacific cargoes out of China. This is their biggest fall since they came off their peak in September last year. Interestingly, rates from the US back to China are actually rising against the trend. American imports seem to be shifting away from China to a variety of Asian countries, especially Vietnam, and US exports are picking up. The US Treasury 10-year yield starts today up 1 basis point from this time Saturday at 3.14%, And the price of gold was at $1,826 an ounce in New York and down $5 at the end of last week. The gold price may open this week with some turbulence as markets absorb the G7 sanctions on Russian gold trading. And oil prices are 50 US cents lower from this time on Saturday, now just over $106 a barrel in the US, while international Brent price is just under $109 a barrel. And the Kiwi dollar will open today at just over 63.1 US cents. Against the Australian dollar, we're a tad softer at 91 Australian cents, and against the euro, we're a little changed to 59.9 euro cents. That all means our trade weighted index starts today at just on 71.1. And the Bitcoin price has moved up from this time on Saturday, now at $21,212, up 1.3%. Volatility over the past 24 hours has been high, at plus or minus 3.8%. You can find links to the articles mentioned today in our show notes. Get more news affecting the economy in New Zealand from interest.co.nz. Kia ora, I'm David Chaston, and we'll do this again tomorrow.